Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, your action plan for real estate success. Here, we stay ready. Staying ready is being mindful of time and actively doing the things on a daily basis so we stay prepared for the opportunities that come our way. Join your host, Emeka, as he dives into the world of real estate investing, interviewing experts and sharing actionable insights. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe today. We would love to know each and every one of you. So please go to GubanaEquity.com and click Invest With Us today so we can figure out how we can get to your investing goals. My man, Sip. So tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do.
How are you? Well, I am a real estate investor from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, about to be from Austin, Texas. And I, first of all, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it. And I'm in a big transition in my life right now. So it's a perfect opportunity to just talk about not only real estate investing, but mindset in general and taking action in whatever it is in life that you want to accomplish, no matter whether it's investing or making personal choices that you've been thinking about for a long time and finally decide to jump in. It's not as scary as you think, right? So yeah, I'm glad to be here, man.
I love it. Let's jump right into it, man. The thing about this podcast, I try to let people know that you don't need to be some superhero to get into real estate and quite frankly, do anything that you want. So can you talk more about, you know, mindset and the act of, you know, making your dreams come to reality?
Okay, that's an excellent question. So back in 2016, I believe is when I found the Bigger Pocket podcast, right? I had always been interested in real estate in one way or the other. And I had bought a house actually after, of course, like everybody else, reading the book by Robert Kiyosaki, right? They called it Purple Bible, right? Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So I had, you know, it piqued my interest, right? So I ended up, it was 2004, five. Yeah, just around that time, right? Before the big crash, I ended up buying three houses in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right? It was in rough neighborhoods, but as a beginning investor, everybody thinks that because something is cheap, it's good, right? You're going to get a lot of cash flow. You're going to get, you know, I don't know. You're like, hey, oh my Lord, my mortgage is $240 a month and I can rent this for $800. I'm going to cash flow, you know, X amount of money. Nobody tells you that things are cheap for a reason, right? Although, and especially if you don't have mentors and you don't have people in your circle that have done it before you, right? So I like to tell everybody, I made every single mistake on the real estate tree, right? I bought a cheap house, I renovated it myself, put a lot of money and time into it, and then I rented it out, right? I never got paid on time because guess what, Emeka? Like as a beginning investor, I wasn't aware that you're supposed to vet tenants and you're supposed to do this and that, right? Like all the proper steps you're supposed to do as a prepared real estate investor or somebody who has a mentor or at least a guiding hand, right? I had none. I'm that kind of person where I'm an action taker. I shoot first and then aim, which is not exactly the best thing to do, but either way, you learn, right? You learn by your mistakes. If I was smarter, I would learn from other people's mistakes, right? But either way, I learned, right? So these three homes in Philadelphia were quite the experience and quite the teaching moment, right? So I had bought them in 2004, 2005, right? I renovated them, got tenants in them, nightmare. Like nobody paid me on time. One of the tenants ruined my house. Another one of the tenants sued me because they quote unquote fell down the steps, right? So at the time I was, you know, I mean, I had two young children, right? My kids were really young. And I remember I was at an indoor water park up here in Pennsylvania. And I was thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, man, I'm getting sued. I'm going to lose everything. You know what I mean? Like all these things that go through your mind because you just don't know. Little did I know that that's why you have insurance, right? Mm-hmm. So the insurance company sent somebody out. They took all the measurements on the steps and stuff like that. And they were like, hey, It's okay. You're not negligent. Like the guy just had an accident. He slipped and fell. I mean, it is what it is, right? So ended up being a big nothing, but it was 6 months of like really stressful time in my life, right? When I was having two small children. I think I'm making all the right moves for my family by buying real estate, fixing it, trying to get good tenants in there. But nevertheless, it was a great learning lesson. I ended up selling all those three houses. And after having, for lack of a better term, that bad taste in my mouth, all I did was take the money I made from those, right, after paying taxes. And then I just bought a condominium up here in near where I live in Wormsor, Pennsylvania. Much better neighborhood, much better tenant base, right? I own that thing for 15 years, never vacant. Never had a problem renting it out and never had it. As a matter of fact, one of the families was in there for over 10 years in that condominium, right? So a great investment, right? And it taught me the value of like, listen, it's fine. Some people are able to invest in those bad neighborhoods or the low the deal with those tenants, basically, right? I'm not cut out for that, right? I just want something that's a little more stable. And to make a long story short, during that time, I had that bad taste in my mouth. So I had let my real estate investing go to the wayside. I just had that condo in the background, rented out. Everything was cool. You know what I mean? It was very low maintenance, right? All those, you hear a lot of people saying, oh, I don't want tenants. I don't want headaches. I don't want this and that. Literally, Emeka, on those 15 years I owned that the condo, I got called 3 times. The water heater broke once. There was a tenant upstairs, a pipe burst, so it ruined the apartment. Whatever the case might be, right? Over that time I owned it, another valuable lesson I learned was that real estate is such a safe investment. If you buy, you don't even have to buy it right. As long as you can hold it and you're cash flowing through it and it's not costing you money, it's okay. I bought that condominium in 2007 at the peak of the market, paid $110,000 for it, right? As it went down in value during 2008 through 2011, when we had the crash, it went down as far as like $75,000. But guess what? I didn't really care because I was still getting rents that more than covered my mortgage because it's a, you know, it's a, it's it wasn't a commercial property, so I had a 30-year fixed rate mortgage on it, so I wasn't worried, right? And then I ended up keeping it, holding it through that period, right? Not freaking out. Ended up selling it right after, man. Yeah, it was literally like almost 16 years that I owned it, right? So I ended up selling it. I made $99,000 on it, which wasn't bad, right? It wasn't a great, it wasn't like a super hit. But the moral of the story is that through mortgage pay down, right, and my ability to just hold it as it was cash flowing the whole time, it didn't, it was like a great safe investment. Right. So that was that spurred me on to like, hey, listen, you know what? There's something to that, right? That $99,000, a lot of my family didn't have real estate, right? And they didn't get a $99,000 check, right? Now, that being said, I paid taxes on it, of course, no big deal. Whatever the case was, it was the easiest money I made. That was a great lesson in real estate, right? As far as that goes. So, like I said, I found the Bigger Pocket podcast. I started to listen to it religiously. And then I heard, I believe it was Gino on from Jake and Gino from that community, which we're both members of, right? And I was like, whoa, commercial real estate, right? I've always had this idea about commercial real estate. But like I said, I come from an immigrant family, right? My parents, all they did was work to put food on the table, right? So I never, I mean, I was that kid, like my parents would come home at night, right? I would order Domino's pizza for dinner. That was it, right? So I grew up like very, very small means, right? So I didn't have those people around me that would like, kind of like carry you, take you under their wing and teach you along, right? So I had to learn a lot of these things by mistake, by and curiosity. But I've always had that drive, right? I mean, we're in the best country in the world. I love this country. This is the best country in the world. It's got its problems, but I am blessed to be here in this country and I love it. So that being said, I want to take opportunity, right? And I want to take, I don't want to waste my opportunity here in the US, right? People are dying to get in this country and I have the privilege to be here. So why not take advantage of it, right? So for a long time between my wife and I got married very young, we were 22. And we were raising kids, right? So instead of being, this is going to lead into my next thing that I want to talk about, which is mindset and intentionality, right? So through this, being married very young, you're just surviving, Emeka, right? You're surviving. You have kids. You're like, okay, gotta pay the bills. Gotta get a car. Gotta get a house. You know what I mean? Like you're taught the American dream or something like that. So, trade your time for money, get a decent job, blah, blah, blah. Right. So you're just going at it, right? But the older I got, the more disillusioned I became with the traditional way of doing things, right? Oh, you're gonna work, you know what I mean? You're gonna save your 401k, you're gonna do this and you're gonna do that. I saw myself and I was like, I'm never going to achieve some of the things that I want to achieve. Not for anybody else, for myself, right? So I started to just think. I remember it was 2016. I've always liked traveling because unfortunately, I love my parents to death. They did the best they could, but I was never on a vacation when I was young, right? They never took me anywhere. Not because they didn't want to, but they just couldn't afford it, right? And so I have nothing against that, right? But so I wanted to provide my kids with an opportunity to see the world, right? So my kids have been to Europe. They've been all over the country. We've traveled extensively, right? Which I absolutely love. I think experiences are the most valuable thing. That being said, I was in Lake Tahoe, which is my favorite place in the world. We both know a fellow person that lives there, and I have very good friends with him, and I keep promising to visit him. But when I was in Lake Tahoe, I was like, man, I'm never going to be able to afford to have a house here. And that like really set me on fire. Right. I was like, why not? How are these people doing it? So instead of like complaining about stuff and thinking about why not me? Why get angry and stuff like that? I was like, I got to figure it the hell out. Right. So I started to like get back into this real estate thing. Right. And then be like, there's got to be a way to do it. There's got to be a way to do it. I had wasted so much time and money on like, cars, the usual stuff, like to keep up with the Joneses. Right. So I started to shift my focus. And then by shifting my focus, I actually went to the Jake and Gino conference in 2018 in Nashville. And it absolutely blew my mind because it was the first time I was exposed to being around people with a similar mindset and similar goals, right? And then and seeing people that are like 10 steps ahead of you, and then getting to know them a little better and getting to know what their stories were, how they got started. Some people were lucky to have, the people around them to basically push them along. But then again, some people came from nothing, just like I have and my parents have, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm trying this. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. And it was funny. I super focused, like laser focused on real estate. I joined the Jake and Gina community, which was a lot of money, and it was a big investment at the time. And I thought that people that I told thought I was crazy. They're like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? They think you're nuts. They think like some guru is going to take your money and stuff like that. So little by little, me and a couple of the guys from the group formed a weekly call. We stayed in touch. And about, what was it, 2019, we actually found a 54 unit property in Atlanta, Georgia, right? It was a Type D asset. It was a mess. It was a mess. I'll share pictures with you sometime. But it was like it was an 84-year-old and his son that had owned it since new. They had built it slowly. So it was like a real mixed match of like efficiency units. But it was a great opportunity because it was a true value add asset. And not only that, our timing, it wasn't because we were good, but our timing was perfect, right? Interest rates were low. We were able to buy this thing on owner financing because they was in such terrible shape. So we negotiated an 18-month term. And I'm making the story short because I'm up for time, right? But we negotiated an 18-month term. We started to turn the units. We got the rents from about $395 to $750 average rent, right? So it was
Wow.
gigantic. Gigantic value add, right? So as we're doing this, right, our partner down there, he was very good, had to go through 13 banks and credit unions to get it refinanced because it wasn't a traditional multi-family property where it had, full-size kitchens and stuff like that. These were kitchenettes. So they were very skeptical to lend on it, right? And then we only had it for a year and a half or so. And so our numbers weren't like 3 years, like banks like to see or whatnot. But anyway, we got it refinanced. We actually got an additional $600,000 of capital to reinvest in the property, continue to improve it, and paid off the original note to the owner. So at that point, after we kept on renovating it, it was a heavy management asset because of the just the nature of the beast, right? There were small units, there were single guys mostly that would rent, and then it would be in and out quite a bit, right? And the owner had not, And for a very long time, literally collected the rents week by week, right? With like a little, like, I remember when we first settled on the property, like the partner that was down there, he literally took a picture of like the consequential, the tin bucket with the keys in it. You know what I mean? No systems, nothing, no organization or anything like that. And in the property, it was a great learning lesson, Emeka, because I'm here up in Pennsylvania near Philadelphia, and the property was in Georgia. So it taught me, I was like, hey, listen, this forces you to actually not work on the property, right? This forces you to have people in place, right? To set systems. And luckily we had two great partners on the where there were boots on the ground there, and they took a lot of things. But it taught me a lot about, investing out of state, right? Being comfortable with that, just get really getting to know the people you are investing with and trusting them. So that being said, that was my wow moment as far as like, this is possible. You know what I mean? There's more to life than just working for a living and complaining about like you don't make enough and doing like that. There is things you can do. It's just a matter of, are you curious enough to do it? Are you willing to invest the time and learn, make the relationships? Like last, since 2018 or whatever, I've flown to, I mean, I've been to more cities in the US in those couple of years than I've ever been to before, right? Because you're trying to visit markets, you're meeting people, you're showing up to events, you're trying to be present, right? To get yourself in the room so people see that you show up, you're a reliable person, you can add value as a partner. So that's been my journey so far. I'm loving it. So far, 2024 has been my best year, not necessarily because of the multifamily. As of right now, my portfolio consists of one fourplex that I bought right after COVID up here in Pennsylvania, and it absolutely kicks butt. I mean, we got it. I have a 3.125 interest rate on it. Unfortunately, I'm going to sell it this coming up year because I finally decided, as I was going to tell you about the intentionality and mindset, I'm moving to Austin, Texas. I have for years always told people how I'm tired of the wintertime, man. I'm tired of the Philadelphia area. It's the wintertime. If I work from home or had a different office, it's a great area, a lot of employment. The people are traditionally, we have that terrible reputation, right? Like it's the worst sports fans in the country, probably well deserved, right? But I mean, Philly is like, it's a very interesting city, right? Like the people are great. You just have to know them. You know what I mean? They're not necessarily great if you don't know them. So that's where, But anyway, I mean, I have a lot of friends here, not a lot of family, because like I said, my parents are immigrants. So that's actually creates a freedom for me to now that my daughters are basically 24 and 21. They're now my oldest daughters. We're so proud of her. I mean, she's like the literal definition of like the perfect kid, right? She's in Cornell Medical School, so I am a very proud dad, and she's amazing. My younger daughter's in college right now. She's an amazing person too. Like they're I knock on wood, but I owe that to my wife. She's a great mom. And I put money on the table on food on the table, and my wife did most of the raising of the kid, so I have to give her credit for that. But yeah, that being said, Emeka, I'm at the point in my life right now. I'm 47 years old, and I need to make a move now. Right. So I've been wanting to move out of the area for a very long time. I've now, built up enough resources, enough confidence to go ahead and make the move to Austin, Texas, which I can't wait. And yeah, that's that. And another important point I did want to hit was the mindset point of it, right? No matter where you are right now, right? Whether you're trying to, break into something like real estate investing, whatever it is, you're having a tough time at work. There's so much information on the internet, on YouTube. Just be positive, right? Try to get out of your own way instead of, getting caught up in whether it's politics on this and that. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. Just take care of yourself, take care of your family, and take whatever actions you need to get to what goals. And you and I are surrounded by a lot of the same people, and that's been a blessing for me because what you want to do is find somebody who's doing what you want to do, right? And instead of having that mindset of, oh wow, they're lucky, they're not, nobody's lucky. They freaking put the work in. And the difference is that they're actually working at something that's important, right? Like they're basically, I believe it was Warren Buffett that said, you have to be in the right boat, right? Like, it's, I mean, you can work really hard at digging a hole in your backyard, right? It's hard work, but it's not getting you anywhere, right? But or you can really work at like, investing in yourself, self-improvement. Health is a big thing for me, right? Like I'm 47 years old right now. I'm literally, I'm still high school weight. I run almost every other day. I work out every other day. And that's been a thing that's not been constant for me. Like I've fallen off. And I realize that whenever I fall off of that habit, right? Whenever either I gain weight or whatever it is, it drags everything down else down. So now you have, at 47 years old, I have enough life experience where I am disciplined now, right? There is no skipping a run. Today was 43 degrees and raining out, and I went for a 3 mile run. There is no, yes, maybe I'll skip it, whatever. I go for a run. And that leads into a lot of other things, right? You want to keep your diet well because you don't want to do all doing that work. And it's just taking basically a bunch of positive steps that build on each other. So that was the mindset piece that I wanted to get into. And yeah, man. So any other questions? I've talked a lot, so I'll shut up now.
And no worry, it was great. It was great. And I think the number one thing I took out of all of that is, number one, it doesn't take someone with superhuman power. But number two, it's just one foot in front of the other, a step by step. I talk about how people say, tax these people more, tax these people more. And it's because they don't pay much in taxes. And then instead of, blaming other people for something, everyone could take or use the exact same strategies that they're doing, right? You're saying tax other people for absolutely no reason at all because you're paying taxes, but you can use the same strategies. And I think a lot of people get into the mindset that it's, I need more of this and they shouldn't deserve that, instead of how did they get to where they are today? And you touched on that, you got to be in the right rooms and just take one step. The first step. The first step is the most important. And if you can go back to whenever you first, thought about getting into real estate, what would you tell the younger Sip? What would you tell him to do for him to take his first step?
Okay, most definitely, man. That's a tough question. But what I would tell myself is, I guess I'll look at it from if I had some kind of a mentor, try to focus on one thing, right? And like I said, it's kind of hard. Like pick, try to have a roadmap, right? Like where do you want to get to, and then build back from it, right? So have a main goal, and which is hard to do, right? Because like I said, when I was young, I was basically surviving, right? Like we had kids young, we were just surviving. But I think so. What I would tell myself is buy more real estate, just to be super simple, right? I guess. But that's such a it's such an easy thing for me to say now. But because when you're young, dude, real estate takes a lot of capital, right? And it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of saving up. So what I would say is going back to what you just said, man. Try to find a mentor. That's a tough one because it's so easy to say, yet so hard to do. Because how do you find a mentor, right? You don't want to create a job for them. You don't want to just say to somebody, hey, listen, what can I do to help you? Because you're giving them a job, right? So how can you add value? That's a tough one. I guess it really depends on where you are in life, but
Figure out
just
your
I guess
strengths.
the simple. I mean, right? The simplest question thing is, I wish somebody had told me, you don't wait to buy real estate, you buy real estate and wait, right? If that's your goal, right? Or if you want to start a business, start it. Who cares? You're young. Like as going to that point, like if I was 22 or whatever and I didn't have kids yet, dude, that's when you take risk, right? Because you don't have mouths depending on you, right? You don't have kids, you don't have responsibilities. That's when you take the big risk. Because who cares? What's the big deal, right? You go back and live with mom and dad for a couple of years if you really screw it up, right? So not the end of the world. So yeah, that's how I would tell myself. Like get into it, take as much risk as you can, and you will learn from those mistakes. Like you and I know both, a lot of people said, maybe Tony Robbins, who knows? A lot of probably the same people that we listen to, failure isn't bad. It's just a lesson, right? It's not a failure. It's only a failure if you stop doing it, right? Or if you let it stop you from doing what it is, right? Failure is just a teaching thing. Like, okay, that didn't work. So let's try it again, right? And it's having that mentality, like that you know you're working towards something that's worth working towards.
If you can give the aspiring investor three actionable steps they can start today, what would they be?
Okay. All right. So, with the amazing amount of information out there, right? Going back, try to narrow down what lane you want to be in, right? Try not to have that shiny object syndrome. And I've been guilty of this, right? Once you narrow that down, get yourself in those rooms. Do not be afraid to invest in going to these conferences, you know what I mean, where you're going to meet certain people. Now, there's a lot of them that are very salesy. They're just trying to sell you a $25,000 coaching program. Do not do that. Do not just go out and blow 25 grand on like whatever program. Just try to find out where the, you know, through talking to people, through stuff like that, where the people that are doing the thing are. Not just gurus that are telling you that they're doing it, like who are they really doing it, right? Like I just recently, you know, since I've had so much success by joining, you know, the mastermind that we joined, right? Marco Barber's MIH, right? Amazing amount of people that are super high quality, right? They're all trustworthy. They're very good people, right? You want it, like, as a matter of fact, like, you know, they're having an event this week in Pennsylvania. I can't wait to go, right? I used to be very shy about these things. Now I can't wait to go because it's all positive. It's all a learning environment. And that's how I found my first partners for that 54 deal in Atlanta, right? Like that's exactly right. Or you got yourself in the same room. You keep talking to people. The people that I've partnered up in Atlanta with, I knew them over a year before we got into the deal, right? So you don't want to get into the deal with or a deal, whether it's a business or a real estate thing, unless you really know the people. Because when things are going great, everything's good. When things start going bad, it's when you find out who people are, right? So you want to kind of at least vet them as best as possible. Yeah, so that's that. So yeah, I would tell them get in the rooms, find out. I just recently joined a business acquisition mastermind. Again, I vetted the crap out of them, right? And it was one of, I spent a significant amount of money joining. Guess what, Emeka? It was worth every penny. I'm already getting a ton of value out of it, and I think I'm gonna eat easily 10x what I paid for that, right? I know it sounds crazy at first, right? But it's the quality of the people that you're meeting to, right? So either you're born into it, right, where you're surrounded by these people, or guess what, people like me, on I don't know how else to say it, you buy into it. Right. And then, but not only buy into it, because it's not just about the money, it's proving your worth and your character. Right. So that you have to have the right mindset, like the abundance mindset, and also the willing to, hey, how can I help you? Right. I mean, you know, it's like people have helped me on the way up, and I want to help people on the way up too. So, I mean, the kids at work, I'm already like, you know, I want to say mentoring one younger kid, and I've already gotten him into, you know, real estate investing and introduce him to some people, and he's flourishing already. He's 22. I wish somebody had done that for me. You know what I mean? But I'm like, listen, I don't expect anything from this kid. I really want to truly see him succeed because I see a lot of good in him, right? So I know he's going to kick butt. And if he, you know, if I can help him along, great. Sometime I keep telling him, I was like, when you're a millionaire, you better come back to me and give, and you know what I mean? And pay me back somehow, like, you know, with a deal or something. But anyway, a kid, of course, he's a great kid though. I know he's going to kick butt. So, you know, so get yourself in the rooms. That's my advice to real estate investors. Start meeting people. Don't do it just because you're trying to get something out of it. Just try to gain the knowledge and add as much value as you can, however you can.
So you said actionable steps, so get in the rooms. We'll be that second
Yes.
one for you.
The second one would be read books. Read. I stop wasting time on listening to sports radio. Or listening to, you know what I mean? To me, I mean, I know, listen, I enjoy music just as an XI. I, for years, literally listened to podcasts and freaking YouTube videos and all that stuff on the subjects I was interested in, right? As long, and it was, I'm very driven. So it was like, okay, I want to become as informed as I can in this subject. So I would listen to, you know, books on tape on the subject, you know, self-improvement and real estate investing, business in general, right? Like just the overall thing. So don't waste time on sports. I'll tell you right now about sports. They're great. It's a great thing. It's a great team building thing. Guess what? All you got to do is score more points. That's the whole thing of like business of sports radio. They analyze the crap out of the game. All they got to do is score more points. That's how you win the next game. That's all, right? And listen, I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. I don't care who likes him, who hates him. He's amazing. So I get it. You know what I mean? But it's more his mindset that I'm a huge fan of, right? Always showing up, always being the first guy there, last guy to leave, and leading by example. right? So that it just creates a whole the culture of the whatever, whether it's the organization or the people you surround yourself with. So that's my number two step. Like, don't waste time. Try to get as much information. Listen to books, and yeah, that's it.
Good. And with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everybody the same three questions. Question one, what are the two books you recommend an aspiring investor to read?
Okay, so entrepreneurship wise, I'm gonna not give you the common answer of Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm gonna go with The Millionaire Fastlane by MJ DeMarco. It's a cheesy title. It's a great book. It's a great book that summarizes the concept of, hey, listen, you want to make a lot of money, you want to do this, you want to do that, you got to serve a lot of people. Find a problem. The bigger problem you find, the more people you serve, the more money you're going to make, right? And then it also goes into what I was just talking about, distractions, right? Stop with the distractions. Like, focus on what you want to do. If you really want to do it, it's tough. It's not easy, man. I get distracted all the time. But don't scroll on social media for a freaking hour and a half, right? Like, limit yourself, right? And try to do something like worthy of your time, because time goes by like this. And those apps are designed to suck you in, right? So try not to waste time. And he goes into a lot of these things. It's actually a great book. It's really easy to read. He's got some good stories in there. And so, Millionaire Fastlane by Andrew DeMarco, a great book for mindset. And it's one that I never hear recommended, so I'm glad you asked, is called The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest, Wiest. Great freaking book, man. And it talks about a lot of the behaviors that most people do when they self-sabotage themselves. Right. And she goes through, like, literally, behavior by behavior, and teaches you like kind of like actionable things to do, or why that behavior is happening and how to stop it from happening. So those two books are freaking awesome. The Mountain by Brianna West, The Mountain Is You by Brianna Weiss, and The Millionaire Fastlane by MJ DeMarco. And there's a ton of other ones. I think I listened to like 20 something books on tape last year, and those two stand out.
Number two, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that's helped you in your career?
Okay, so this one is good. Let me find it. It is The Man in the Arena by Theodore Roosevelt. Are you familiar with that, or?
I'm not.
Okay, so let me see here. I had a note on here, but my magical computer here is, let's
It's
see.
always perfect timing with our computers. They know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so The Man in the Arena by Theodore Roosevelt. I'm not going to read the whole speech. It's not that long, right? But it's basically emphasizes like that true credit belongs to those who actually do stuff, right? They strive to do stuff. They face challenges. They fail. Who cares, right? And it basically tells you that don't care about those critics, because guess what? They're not doing it. You're doing it, right? So that's a huge, like, I absolutely love that speech, because it's like, dude, the guy cheering or like telling the quarterback that he sucks, he doesn't matter, dude. That quarterback's the man there doing it, right? He's doing the work. He's leaving himself out in the field. So whether he failed or not, he's still the man, right? So don't worry about critics. So as far as like when I started my investing or something like that, like I overheard people talk, like even in my family, right? Like they're like, oh, he's gonna lose his shirt, he's gonna do that. You know what I mean? Whatever it might be, right? And dude, it's not it, and oh, it's a great point that I wanted to bring up with the mindset thing, Emeka. Don't be afraid to cut toxic people out of your life. You know what I mean? That is so huge. Like, I had a bad experience earlier this year. I absolutely eliminated those people from my life, and it's been nothing but one of the best decisions I've made. You know what I mean? So that don't be afraid, man, because like they will drag you down. They will drag you down. I hate to say that, but when you're surrounded by positive people, it's like that weird crab syndrome, right? Where they just try to keep you where you are. So don't be afraid of doing that. And yeah, so I'm sorry. I went on a tangent there. But yeah, that speech by Theodore Roosevelt like tells you, like, who cares what the critics are saying, dude? You do you, and you just look, make sure you're proud to look yourself in the mirror, and you're good to go.
Number three, if you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Okay. Absolutely. Elon Musk. Again, don't care if you like or hate him. I am a huge fan of Elon Musk. He is the epitome of somebody who it just has an incredible way to think of crazy ideas, right? And getting them done. You cannot, he's undeniable. He's what I like to call undeniable, right? I don't care if you like him or hate him. You know, the government hates him. They want to tax him to death, blah, blah, blah. He is, in my view, he's a gift to the world. You know what I mean? He's just, it's unfathomable. I mean, like, who starts a freaking car company? He did. You know what I mean? Who freaking sends rockets up to space and then catches them? He does, right? They're so incredible. And then, like, the more you read about it, like, I read his biography by, I mean, not autobiography, his biography by Isaac. I can't remember the guy's name, but he wrote one on Steve Jobs too. Great, both great books. Dude, he thinks from first principles, right? So he doesn't accept something just because it's been done that way for a long time, right? So he's like, no, why does this part for this rocket ship that's the same part like a car has cost $1 million when it can cost $600? I mean, so he doesn't allow people to limit him. He goes back to first principles, blows the ship up or blows whatever the problem up, and then reconstructs it. It's just that it's a I would love to have dinner with him because it's, you know, he it's just a I don't know, he's a phenom, and you got to respect that. That's all.
Yeah, I'm a very big fan, big fan as well, just because people don't hate on someone who sucks at something.
Right.
Because
No
it's
doubt. No doubt.
yeah, period. No, period. Now I appreciate you sitting. Now, how can the audience reach out to you? Is there anything that the audience can do to help you and what you're looking for?
Listen, I'm willing to talk to anybody. I'm still, this is a cool podcast because you're not talking to a guy who has $20 million in the bank. You're talking to a guy who's building his whatever you want to call it, right? Empire. So yeah, man, reach out to me. The best way is email. It's CIP at investrg.com. Be glad to talk to anybody. You know what I mean? Just I'm that guy. I love meeting new people, especially in a similar mindset. If you're starting out, please reach out. I'll do whatever I can to connect you. As you know, Mecca, we have friends all over the country. Thank because we're in the room, right?
Yeah.
We're in these masterminds. We're making it happen, right? We're always traveling and stuff. So yeah, reach out no matter where you are, man. Would love to talk to you. But that's the best way. Email. Let's see. In my website, you can go to investrg.com. That is where I have the pictures of that property that I was mentioning. So in some of that description. And yeah, man. Don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything. And I'm also pivoting into a business acquisition. So that's a huge, that's a new pivot for me too. So that's interesting.
No, I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining the show and love to have you back again sometime soon.
Thank you, Emeka. I appreciate you.